Thank you, ladies. I have read and read and voiced openly, often, about the need to practice right thinking and affirmative prayer. Why do I do this so often? I do it because I am very much aware of how I think sometimes. And I see how quickly and how easily I can sink into negative ways of thought. And I have a feeling that my habits of thought are no more negative than those of most people. I know that the world cannot possibly change for the better until you and I change for the better. And we cannot change for the better until we change the way we think with feeling. Now, I don't mean just the thinking that we do in words. We think in pictures and in our daydreams and in our fantasies as much as in words. We think in bodily sensations and reactions, in emotions, feelings, and desires. And most of all, with our actions, our responses to the events that occur in our life, and the way in which we live. But it is with the thoughts that move through our head in the form of words that we begin. If we change our thoughts and hold them positively and continuously, we will find that all of the other elements in our life begin to change in positive ways. Divine science has just two central teachings, and they complete each other. The first one is that there is only one presence and only one power in the universe, and that is God, the good. And the second is the law of mind in action. So let us take a look at the first idea. We believe and teach that God is good, only good, and always good. We believe that God is life, intelligence, and love. And we believe that God is not in some faraway place, separate and apart from us. God is within us. God is at the center of all that is, all that was, and all that ever will be. The world God made is good, because life, intelligence, and love could make no other kind of world. If we see it less than good, it is because we are failing to see the truth about God and the world and us. The fault is not in God or in God's work, but the fault is in us. If we do not see the good, it is not because good is not there. Good is there because God is there. How is it then that we account for the fear, the hate, the natural calamities, and human and man, in human, excuse me, and human inhumanities that seem to be a part of the world in which we live today? This brings us to the second law, the law of mind in action. Frank Giudice, a minister, has put the law into as simple words as I can find. He said, thoughts held in mind produce the outer after their kind. We say sometimes thoughts are things. Divine science teaches over and over in all of our classes and in our lessons that it is the law of mind action that gives our world the shape and nature that it has for each and every single one of us. Because it is so important to study the mind and to understand its laws, because the starting point of every single thing in the universe begins with an idea. We are just beginning to understand that there is one unchanging law of mind action, and that all thinking and all speaking are compliant to it. So when Jesus said, "By your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned," he taught of the power of thoughts and words to bring results in accordance with the ideas back of them. The turbulent nature of our lives is not due to the nature of things, but to the turbulence in our minds and in our hearts. The goodness of God and the law of mind action lie at the foundation of all of our teachings about the nature of God, the world, and ourselves. This is the basis on which affirmative prayer was developed. The world we live in today is what it is because we are what we are. Our world is exactly what our mental processes, our senses, our perceptions, our feelings, and our emotions, along with our logical thoughts and passionate desires, tell us it is. Why is there so much misery and pain in the world? Well, I don't know about all of you, but I find that I am not completely immune to thinking thoughts and feeling feelings of fear, anger, frustration, and other negative varieties. I am constantly working to turn such thoughts off and turn to more positive and loving ones. For many years, before being steeped in our teaching, I let negative habits of thought run me unchecked because I did not realize how important positive thinking is and how much my well-being depends on it. In fact, I did not realize that my thoughts were negative. They just seemed to be my thoughts and my natural way to think. Now I see that that is not the case. I realize that I have the power to control my thinking, but years and years of no control have made it hard. A friend once told me that when she considered the kind of thoughts that ran through her head every day, she felt that she was unfit to live, except that she knew that the same kind of thoughts ran through the heads of everyone else. I have always liked the story of the little village of Cheung, where the people became so negative, such negative thinkers, that they decided that it was an absolute rule in the universe that everything always turns out the worst of all possible ways. One day, a little boy in the community reported that he had dropped a piece of buttered bread, and it landed butter side up. The town council had a meeting. For 3 days, the town council debated how this could have possibly happened. And then the mayor came out after much deliberation, and he announced that the law had not been broken. The bread had really landed as expected, butter side down. It had been buttered on the wrong side. Now, this is just a funny little story, and I believe that most of us are not such negative thinkers as the people in Cheung. But many of us do think in much the same way. How many times do we hear people, maybe even ourselves, say things like, "It never rains, but it pours." "It's just one bad thing after another." Or, "If you want it to rain, just wash your car." Or thousands of other gloomy sayings that show the negative bent of human thought. Our language has many words to describe unhappy states more unhappy states of mind than happy ones. Dante's Inferno is much more real and vivid than his Paradiso. Most of the time, our thoughts are not particularly negative or positive. They're just what seems to be passing through our mind, often nothing of much consequence, as when we are looking out the window, driving down the road, or watching television. In the latter case, considering what most television shows are like, our thinking of the moment is probably very negative. There is a delightful old fable that explains how we come to be such a negative bunch of people. When Moses brought the Ten Commandments down from God and found the people worshiping the molten calf, he became so angry that he broke the tablets into pieces. Naturally, everyone tried to lay hold of these little pieces of divine wisdom. But remember, there were all those thou shalt nots that dealt with all the things that we should not be doing. And there were very few fragments of thou shalt on them. What most of us collected was the nots and the negative ways of thought and life that the tablets had been intended to keep us from thinking and living. And that's how so many of us got to be negative thinkers. But negative thinking is not funny. It is the law of mind action, and it is true. It is the reason why our world is mixed up and often very unpleasant place to be living in. It is a must that we take charge of our thinking and direct it toward God and God's good, toward love, toward wisdom, life, and joy. We cannot continue to let our thoughts drift to and fro and down negative channels. We are often not in charge of our mind. Rather, our mind is in charge of us. We just think the way we have learned to think without thinking where that kind of thinking may be taking us, spiritually and mentally, as well as physically. We have to stop and know. Hey, I don't have to think these unprofitable thoughts. I'm in charge here. I can direct my thoughts where I will, where I pray, and where God wills. Here are some phrases that we use in our teaching. One of them is race consciousness. I know you've heard this in the classes that you've taken. Race consciousness refers to the load of negative beliefs that we inherit when we are born and that we pick up immediately from our mothers, from our fathers, our relatives, our teachers, our friends. These are the ingrained limiting beliefs that the human race has acquired. It is a powerful force, and we must not let it dominate us. Years ago, I watched a story on television. It was a true story, they said. It was about a young man who had been sent to a home for what was then called retarded children. His mother left him there at his birth, and he was brought up as a mentally deficient young man. However, one of the nurses who observed him decided that he was not mentally deficient at all. And although the doctors were certain that she was wrong, they gave her a chance to work with the young man. When she did this, he resisted her efforts, sometimes with violence. He did not want to learn a new way to live. He was content to be what he had been programmed to believe he was. That way, he fit into the world he found himself in. It took years for the nurse to get him to change the limiting beliefs that he had about himself and become the normal person that he was capable of being. When I watched this show, I wondered, is it possible that we are all inmates in a home for retarded children of God? One of us, his name was Jesus the Christ, dared to say that this is not the way we are meant to live. He tried to tell us that we are meant for more. We are not retarded children. We are God's, and all of you are children of the Most High. In Plato's great analogy of the cave, he says that we are like prisoners in a cave, bound in such a way that we never face the light, and so we can only see the shadow things. Naturally, we come to feel that these shadow shapes are the real world. When one of us is freed and turns toward the light, the new reality he faces is more perplexing than the familiar shadow world he left. When he goes back down into the cave and he tries to tell the others what is really real, he seems ridiculous in their eyes. And finally, he decides that it is better not even to think of ascending. And if anyone tried to loosen another and lead him up to the light, let them only catch the offender, and they would be put to death. I have learned that the time to handle negative thought is when it first starts. I like to garden a bit, and there is a gardener's proverb that I learned a long time ago, and it goes like this. To be a good gardener, it is not enough to love flowers. You have to hate weeds. If we let weed thoughts grow in our lives, they will choke out the pattern of thought and behavior that we would like to see flourish in us. If we catch these weed thoughts when they first begin, or even before they begin, they are easy to eliminate. I like to walk in the woods sometimes too, and often a little stone will get inside my shoe. I know you've had the same experience. And I have learned to take the time that it takes to take it out when I first feel it. If I stop and I take it out, then it is only a moment of annoyance. But if I don't take it out, if I let myself think, oh, that's such a little stone, it's not important, it will spoil my whole walk. The best way I have found to get rid of negative thoughts is to speak a few words of truth. We learn to think negatively by thinking negatively, so we can learn to think positive thinking by thinking the same way. We have become what we have become, thought by thought, word by word, and deed by deed. Thought by thought, word by word, deed by deed, we can become more than what we have been. When we find ourselves thinking a negative thought, let us turn in our mind and speak a word of truth. What is it that I am talking about? Paul tells us in Philippians, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is gracious, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worth praise, think about these things. When we do this, we will find ourselves living such an excellent life that we will be filled with gratitude and praise. Shall we begin now to make this lesson practical? Will you please join me in our closing meditation? So take a moment now to get comfortable in your chair. Close your eyes and rest your feet flat on the floor. And place your arms in a comfortable position, either in your lap or at your sides. And get comfortable enough so that your body does not call attention to itself. And just relax for a moment. Take a deep breath in and let that breath out slowly. And as we let it go, we are releasing all of our negative thoughts, all of our negative feelings, our negative emotions, our negative desires. And we are clearing our mind. We're letting go of all of the things that are swirling around in there. No anger, no resentment, no jealousy. They're all gone. No worries about the later today or tomorrow or next week. Just be still. Be still and know that you are surrounded with love and peace and with harmony. God is right where you are. Go deep within to the center of your being, where our Father waits and welcomes you with his open arms, his unconditional love, and his peace. God is all in all. He is in all, he is around all, and he is through all. God is good. And because God is good, there can be nothing contrary to God and his goodness. In the beginning, God created everything that is, everything that was, and everything that ever will be. And he breathed his life into it all, and he declared it good and very good. So if all is good and very good, there is nothing to see with a jaundiced eye, nothing to hear with a flawed ear, no hurt to feel or anger. There is no need to harbor negative thoughts, negative ideas, negative desires in my mind. God's kingdom is pure, whole, perfect and complete. God's kingdom is good and very good. This beautiful kingdom is not some far-off place that is unattainable. God's kingdom is right here, right now, awaiting our entrance. The door to the kingdom is open by thinking and doing rightly, by keeping eyes upward facing our Father, keeping our thoughts, our ideas, and our desires on the highest level of consciousness. Let us begin today to dedicate our thinking and feeling to the mind and the law of God. Only good can exist in the mind of anyone who loves good and thinks rightly. Let that mind that was in Christ Jesus also be in you. Let us be steadfast in thought, purpose, and accomplishment, always keeping in mind whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report. Think on these things. Amen. The Lord blesses you and keeps you. He causes his light to shine upon you. He is gracious unto you, and he lifts your consciousness and gives you his infinite, eternal, and unconditional love, along with his pure grace. Amen.